This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear respected viewers at home, I wish you are well, inshallah ta'ala. And welcome back to another episode of Stories from Al-Kahf. Today we will be discussing the story of the two gardens, inshallah, with Sheikh Sajid Omar. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Kayfa halak?
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feek. I'm well. How are you, Ma'ruf?
Alhamdulillah.
You keeping well?
Alhamdulillah. I'm keeping
everything
good.
Okay?
Alhamdulillah. How's your stay in Britain so
Allah's
far?
Allah's most kind. Allah's most kind. Jazakallahu khairan. How are you after our lessons from the seven sleepers?
Alhamdulillah. I mean, I feel that I benefited a lot. There was a lot of key points that were discussed that I think that could, you know, be implemented straight away into
give me one key one that stood out for you.
I mean, I think the most important lesson that I derived from the previous interactions with you, Sheikh, was to conduct yourself with wisdom, to be wise in the way you conduct yourself in society, because, you know, I mean, there, especially in London, there are a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds, and they have their own ways, and, you know, you need to almost mold yourself in order to fit, you know, add that jigsaw to, you know, fit with the community in order to, you know, converse and discuss, you know, Islam or whatever it may be. So I think, you know, wisdom here, I think being
in a wise way, I think you might have derived that from Waliya Talattaf.
Yes, yes.
The importance of handling yourself in a way conducive to the circumstance and situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because a Muslim is one who is a worthy citizen of every environment that he or she is in.
Mm.
It's not easy. To act upon wisdom, but at least you need to make an effort towards it. Mm-hmm. So that's the lesson, that, you know, you conduct yourself in a way that is conducive always, that brings about a better situation always. Definitely. Excellent. What are we talking about today?
So today we're discussing the two gardens. Why is it in Surah Al-Kahf? You know, what's its relevance in, you know, this part of the Quran, if you could
Excellent.
Please expand on that, inshallah.
Excellent. So, yes, so we have the story of the two gardens and the two men that used to have discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of the famous stories of Surah Al-Kahf. And it has a settled place in Surah Al-Kahf. And there is cohesion and relevance as to why it exists in Surah Al-Kahf. In the first story that we discussed, the story of the seven sleepers, we said that story teaches us the trial of power and authority and leadership. That you could have it be a test and a trial and a tribulation for you. If you're not just, if you let it get to your head, when you let these things get to your head, it's a great torment. Because we had an oppressive ruler, right, in the first story. In this particular story, it's a case of wealth. It's a case of wealth. And wealth, if you let it get to your head, then you know what? It's going to be a trial for you. It's going to be a torment for you. It's only going to bring about your destruction.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask you something, and perhaps you can tell me what you think.
Sure.
Why do we have the story of the seven sleepers in Surah Al-Kahf? What did we say about that? Do you remember?
Yes, I believe it's due to the reason as to why it was revealed.
It was
revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the Quraysh, they went to the Jewish tribesmen of the time to ask them how to deal with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a prophet that has come with the true monotheistic religion that is, you know, has followers now. He's causing a problem in their society. So they wanted to obviously find a reason or a cause and how to, you know, take that away from
Excellent.
Their society.
Excellent.
So,
okay.
I mean, so that is the reason as to why.
So this was one question.
Mm-hmm.
But did the Jewish people tell the Quraysh, the people of the Qurayshi tribe, did the Jews tell them to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the man of the two gardens?
No,
he didn't.
No, he did not.
So, you know, this sort of causes a light bulb to go on in our head that okay, so why do we have the story here?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've always said that there's so much coherence in the Quran and everything is relative to something to what exists before it and what exists after it. So why do we have the story of the of these two men? And the reality of it is because it is a story that causes one, or causes the Quraysh specifically, and everyone generally in their circumstance, to ponder over certain realities. Because one of the men in the story of the two gardens, and the men of the gardens, handled himself in a way that brought about his destruction. He let wealth get to his head. And the Quraysh were doing the same thing. They were letting wealth get to their head, their status get to their head, their financial standing and material well-being. So it's really relevant, right? Now, before we go into the nitty-gritties, just to, so that the synergy, especially in the discussion, especially for the viewers, we must give a summary, right, about what the story is. So basically, God Almighty says, O Muhammad, tell your people, right, about the two men. And, you know, the men that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed one of them with these two amazing, luscious gardens. Two gardens of grapes, surrounded by date trees, and in the middle was an amazing series of cultivation and agriculture and greenery, right? And he didn't stop there. God Almighty gave automatic irrigation to these two gardens, where he had to do nothing, but these two gardens would continue to produce and experience, you know, amazing abundance. So this was the situation with one of them. And some of the commentators say that, you know, we have two men in the story. One of them was a believer, one of them was disbeliever. Some say that one of them was grateful and the other was ungrateful. And no doubt, one was grateful and one was ungrateful, because the man of the other man, who didn't have a luscious garden or gardens like this man, he was a grateful person for whatever he had. But Allah tells us that the man with the two gardens, he let his money get to his head. And as a result of it, he started denying the hereafter. He says, I don't think any of this thing will go away. All this amazing thing, look at my gardens, they produce by itself. I do nothing to it. I don't think Allah will cause this to stop. And if he did cause it to stop, then he was guaranteeing himself salvation in the hereafter. You see, you end up becoming deceived. So his friend, or the you know, the other person, in retrospect, had a discussion with him. And what's amazing about the surah is how many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ. It's about hiwar, right? When we spoke about the story of the seven sleepers, it was about Allah knows best, Allah knows best. How long did we stay for? Was it a day? Was it by for a day? Allah knows best, right? And then if you go through the story, there's so many, it comes again. You know, how long did they, in terms of whenever there's a discussion about where they had a difference of opinion, Allah says, say Allah is most knowledgeable of this. You know, and the fact that it's repetitive there gives us a lesson, but we discussed that. Over here, it's قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبَهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ. So it's an amazing lesson that the friend or the other man, when he heard this, he said, let's not say friends because we don't know, Allahu A'lam, but they were two men, right, in acquaintance with each other. He said to his, he discussed with his friend in a discussion, right? That are you disbelieving in Allah, the one who created you from sand, from dust, and then from fluid, and then shaped you into, you know, your shape now?
Human form.
Nah. Into your human form, right? This is what the man said to him. This is da'wah, right? So this is a summary of what happened. And then this man said that, you know what? It was better for you. It's better for you to say, MashaAllah. La quwwata illa billah. That when you went into these gardens every day and you saw your financial standing and your material well-being, that you didn't forget the one who gave you this. That this is not because of you, but all this you have is because of your creator. Right? So it is better for you to go into these gardens and say, MashaAllah, as Allah has willed. La quwwata illa billah. There's no power, no might except from Allah. This is from Allah. Because this is from showing gratitude, but you are being ungrateful. Right? And then he said, you know, that perhaps, you know, a circumstance will fall upon you. Punishment will fall down upon you from the skies, whereby rainfall might come in a heavy way and destroy your gardens.
Everything, yes.
Right? And that's what happened. What happened? This man walked into his garden one day and he found everything destroyed. What a loss. What a loss. Right? Because he became arrogant. So Allah took it away. He was ungrateful, so Allah took it away. And he fell into regret. And then, you know, hindsight is it's always something that comes in. But hindsight will always be hindsight. If only I, it's too late now. Right? So this is a summary of the story. Now, again, remember we said that the Quraysh weren't told to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us this here? That, oh, Muhammad, tell the Quraysh about this man.
Because it directly links with their...
It links with their mentality. That Allah has given you guys, you know, blessings. Allah says in Surah Li'ilafi Quraysh, what does he say? فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Allah says, "Li'ila fi Quraysh," the caravans of the Quraysh. They had a caravan in the summer. They had a caravan in the winter. And these caravans would travel through the deserts. The deserts had desert bandits. The desert bandits would attack people's caravans. But when they saw the caravans of the Quraysh, no one dared try and attack those caravans. Allah placed a fear in their hearts to touch the caravans of the Quraysh, so they would go safely and come back safely, their money would go safely, and their merchandise would come back safely, and they were living in abundance, even though they were in the middle of nowhere. Right? This is a blessing from Allah. So Allah says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Worship the Lord of this house. الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ. The one who kept you full from hunger. وَأَمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. And kept you free from fear. It's a blessing from Allah. Don't deny Allah. Don't say this is us and this is me, myself and I. Selfishness. Right? So Allah is giving them the story. Take heed. This is what happened to a man from the past. Learn from history. And we've said this time and time again. History. History is a great teacher. But many of us don't read history. And if we read history, we don't, understand it. And if we understand it, we don't ponder over it. It's just a sign of the times, right? We live in this age of, you know, everything must be short. Everything must be fast food. Even the way we seek knowledge must be fast food. Progress needs time. It's not fast. It's not takeaway, right? So unfortunately, this is the circumstance. And hopefully this series will inspire yourself and the listeners and even myself, first and foremost, to, you know, read over history, understand it and ponder over it in light of modern day realities, right? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.
I mean, it's very interesting that you linked it directly with the Quraysh and their mentality. But, you know, some people in Western societies, they put their amal, their work, over the worship of their Lord. They will miss their Jum'ah, or they will be busy at the time of Asr or Dhuhr. And because of this, they forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
May Allah make it all easy. This, no doubt, is something that needs to be reassessed, re-looked at, because... all success is from Allah. And that's why we say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no power, no might except from Allah. And that is a fundamental message in this particular story. But let's go for the break. And when we come back, inshallah, let's continue from this point.
Inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear respected viewers at home, welcome back. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. We'll carry on, inshallah, by discussing the relevance of the story to the Quraysh of the time of the Prophet.
Barakallahu feek. May Allah bless you. It's always important. You see, the thing is, whenever we look at these stories, it's important that we understand the relevance of its placement, because it just enhances our ability to appreciate the lessons from it. So, really, you know, the Quraysh are testing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to try and discredit him. And here Allah is saying, tell them about the man who had the two gardens. Because Allah gave him everything, money went to his head, and look what happened to him. And how does this fit with the Quraysh? The Quraysh were in the same thing. And before the break, we established how Allah blessed them. And it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them that, oh Quraysh, this is your man. He grew up in front of you. And you know him to be the best of the best. You announced him to be the best of the best. Salih. Your tongues bore testimony to his honesty. Yes, he was salih, he was righteous, he was honest. You used him to solve your own disputes not so long ago.
It was with the Hajar Aswad.
With the Hajar Aswad and other affairs. They just would love to see him, love to have him. And they know how beloved he was to Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather. You know, Abdul Muttalib would not allow his sons to sit with him at his spot by the shade of the Kaaba, but he would allow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the grandson. So you know who this man is. Why are you denying him? Right? This is a wake-up call. Why are you denying him? Is it the reality that money has gone to your head? Because in this reality, you understand the fitna and trial interpretation of wealth, right? Now, bring this back to today's society. That how many times today do we find people deny what's right just because they can? And when we say because they can, it's because they don't need you, they have money, right? It's either they have, you have money, then you go for status. So it's either you deny because you have money or status, or because you have money, right? Because if you have status, then you probably have money. So money is a fitna, you know? We see in society today, people stand up against even the scholars because they can, because they have money. And people need them because they have money. People respect them because they have money, right? They have respect because of their net worth. We've seen how different organizations or masajid kick off because this man, wanted things to go a certain way. It was my way or the highway kind of attitude, as people who, the wealth gets to the head. That's how they behave, my way or the highway kind of attitude. But it didn't go his way. So he says, I'm leaving this particular committee of this particular institute or this particular masjid. And then he goes and fires a rival masjid or rival institute. Why? Just because he can. Just because he has money. So you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though the story is short, it's highlighting for us a reality. That you have money because Allah gave you this
money. It to you.
That's why you have the money. And if it wasn't for Allah, you'd have nothing. So make sure you're true to the do's and you stay away from the don'ts. Meaning, be upon the commands of Allah. And be thankful to Allah. And be grateful to Allah. And be humble for what you have. It's as if the story is saying, the more Allah gives you, the more humble you should be. And you should become. And a greater supporter of the truth you should be. A greater soldier of the truth you should be. Right? So this is the relevance. That it's not just a story out of place. That here you are, Quraysh, trying to test me with these questions from the Jews. Do you know who I am? I am from you. I grew up in front of you. You never knew me to be a liar. So understand that you're behaving this way because of arrogance. And it's your status and your wealth that's gone to your head and it's become a trial for you. So take heed before the destruction that fell upon the man who let money and status get to his head afflict you.
SubhanAllah.
Right? It's a choice that we make.
SubhanAllah. And it's like the same way that the story of the man had that person to conversate and warn that person, look, this is the situation, gave him the advice. The same way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving that nasiha, that advice to the
Quraysh. And he's giving it to them in a discussion. Yes, you're absolutely right. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is engaging them in discussion. And this man is engaging this other man in discussion. It's a great lesson for us in da'wah, right? And remember in Surah Al-Kahf, and you highlighted this at the beginning of the program, when you said that, when they sent the man to the city to buy food, they said, وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ, be inconspicuous, be gentle, don't bring attention to yourself. It's not the time to bring attention to yourself. Don't go out there, guns blazing, that you guys are polytheists, etc., etc. We're already dealing with the circumstance. Right? To them, it was the same day. Right? So he said, go be conspicuous, because we just ran away from these people. We just want to buy the food, come back and be hidden from them. Right? So we learn from that at times of weakness, we need to handle ourselves in a specific way, even as believers. Even here, it's a hiwar situation. We're not at the stage of Dhul-Qarnayn, which we'll come to. Dhul-Qarnayn was a just king. It wasn't, we've got to be conspicuous, we've got to be like this, you say the haqq and, we should always say the haqq, but the issue is how should we say the haqq? That changes from time to time. Sometimes saying the haqq is by keeping silent, not saying it now. Because if you do say, then it will never ever be said. Does that make sense?
It causes more harm than benefit.
So here you can see this man is not at the same, meaning society perceives people at that level to be voices, So he's having a hiwar with him. And it's beautiful. He's having a hiwar, a discussion. He's not jumping on him, saying, you misguided fool, or you mubtadi', you innovator, or, he's having a hiwar. Let me engage the person first. Let me bring, some reason to him, right? Perhaps he slipped. So, wahuwa yuhawiruhu, it's a theme in this particular story. So yeah, this is it, and its relevance in Surah Al-Kahf. That the same Quraysh who are bringing about the stories, or some of the stories of Surah Al-Kahf to test the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they being addressed with the story. That look to the Quraysh, and everyone who has their money in their head and in their heart, and not in their hands, if you denying the truth Because of arrogance, then you will only face destruction both in this world and the next. The money that you have is going to become destroyed. And when you go to the life of the after, you're not going to have anything. Yeah. And that's why the Prophet said that no one will enter Jannah. You know, a person will not enter Jannah if he has a mustard seed size, meaning a tiny, minute size worth of kibr,
pride,
of arrogance. Not just pride, arrogance. Because pride can be a good thing in certain contexts.
Mm.
You're proud of your dress, you look smart, but arrogance. What is arrogance? Where you look down upon people, you feel you're better than them. That's pride, that's arrogance. And when you deny the truth. You deny the truth. It's come to you with evidence, but you deny it. Why? Just because you can. Why? Just because you have this wealth. But hey, who gave you this wealth?
SubhanAllah. I think that point directly relates to Ayah 28 as well, where it discusses the Quraysh said, yeah, okay, fine, you know, we'll interact with you, but what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to remove those who are miskeen or...
Yes, you mean before the story.
Oh, okay.
Before the and this is good you highlighted it, because we actually saying here that this surah, its relevance is actually in our understanding of the situation of the Quraysh.
Mm.
The ayah before the story, meaning after the story of the people of the cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ. Right? Mm. Allah says, do not remove from your gathering those people who remember their Lord at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day, sincerely for the sake of Allah. They only want Allah's face. Allah said, do not remove them from your gathering. What is the reason of this ayah? What is the reason? We have narrations about this, that this ayah came down with regards to what happened in the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this further proves that this surah, Surah Al-Kahf, is a Meccan surah. Right? And we discussed this in previous episodes, that it was revealed before migration. Because this is happening in Mecca. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he wants to give da'wah to the Quraysh. So the Quraysh said, okay, we'll listen to your message on condition you remove all these poor people from your gathering. We don't want Bilal to be there. We don't want Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to be there. We don't want Khabbab ibn al-Arad to be there and others. Some narrations actually name them, that these were the people with the Prophet. They said, remove them from the gathering. Then we'll sit and listen to what you have to say. What is this?
It's arrogance, pure arrogance.
This is arrogance, exactly. So Allah is saying, don't remove people. These people who remember Allah at the beginning of the day and the end of the day for the sake of Allah. To appease these people who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So you see, and remember I mentioned earlier in one of the early episodes that Surah Al-Kahf is the weekly audit. It's the weekly audit.
Yes.
You know why it's a weekly audit? Because it's a surah of perspective. It sets perspective. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Back to the basics before the grave. That, hey, it's a weekly audit because it's telling you what you should bench, the ideals that everyone should benchmark themselves against. It's setting those ideals. So in this particular ayah, Allah is saying, hey, don't kick out these people who worship Allah just to appease these rich people who are arrogant, right? Yeah, they're arrogant. What is this? If the truth should be sought wherever it is. Don't say, it might be the truth, but I'm not going to listen to it until you kick these poor people out, and I can make that demand because I can, because I'm rich. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us.
Ameen.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our wealth and make Ameen. Us more humble because of our wealth.
Ameen.
Right? It's not a bad thing to be rich.
Yes.
Some people think, you know, being rich, we shouldn't be rich. No, Allah praises the Ansar for being rich. In Surah Al-Hashr, He praises, I think it's ayah number 9. In ayah number 8, he praises the Muhajirun for being poor. And in number 9, he praises the Ansar for being rich. But they were rich with money in their hands.
No,
and this is what I say to the youth around me, that, you know, my dream, I would love to see 100 Muslim billionaires, but with money in their hands, not in their heart.
Yes.
Who look like Muslims, speak like Muslims, act like Muslims, look after the laws of Allah. Billionaires in this way. Hey, you can build Jannah in an amazing way being a billionaire, if you act in this way. May Allah grant us the understanding.
I mean, it's very amazing how you link the weekly audit to the humbling of oneself with this benefit that we can get from the surah, subhanAllah. Because, you know, you might have one good week, you might have one bad week, regardless.
Of course.
You know, it hits the heart and
humbles us.
Of course,
you know, the famous poet, when he saw Spain disappearing from the authority of the Muslims, you know, he spoke amazing words, and he said that in effect, he said that, you know, the nature of the life of this world is that one day will be for you, one day will be against you. That, you know, there were people who were happy for moments, but they were sad for longer moments. You know, وَهَذِي الدَّارُ لَا, you know, this place, this world doesn't stay in a static way. Yeah,
most it changes.
Yeah, وَلَا يَدُومُ عَلَى حَالٍ لَهَا شَانُ. It doesn't have just one situation. It has multiple situations. This is أَيْنَ الْمُلُوكُ دَوِتِّي جَانِ مِنْ يَمَنٍ. Because we are the kings who wore crowns from Yemen. وَأَيْنَمَا سَاسَهُ فِي الْفُرُسِ سَاسَانُ. And we are the leaders of Persia. Where are they? One day they're here, one day you hear, one day you're there, one day you're on the top of the Premier League, one day you're not, right?
MashaAllah. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. I think we'll end the discussion at this point. Alhamdulillah, I mean, that was very beneficial. I mean, towards the end as well, you know, it's really important to take the points from what we're discussing here and utilizing them in our life at home, at work. May Allah reward you.
Reward you as well.
Ameen. And the viewers at home, may Allah reward you and allow you to take benefit from what is being discussed discussions. Alhamdulillah. I would like to end the show there and hope to see you all next week. Bi-idhnillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.